It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday. Hope you're well. We are here to put you in the mood for the weekend over the next hour and a half. 51551 or ray@rte.ie if you want to get in touch. Let us know what you're up to for the weekend. Lots of you on the road, I know, today, so stay safe, of course. And a tweet that did make us smile came from Margaret O'Gorman, who wrote, "Who taught you to drive? My wonderful uncle taught me. He has left this world, but he is still the guardian angel on my shoulder every time I get into my car. Thousands and thousands of kilometres later, he can still spot a feckin' idiot on the motorway and predict his next move." Which I thought, it's great, isn't it? And it had us all reminiscing here. Like, will you ever forget your first driving lesson? I mean, specifically, I have this vivid memory of getting out of the passenger seat for the first time and into the driver's seat and, you know, clicking the seatbelt in. And the stress was something shocking. And then all those memories of the stalling and trying to start the car again and the tailback of the traffic behind you and my dad sitting there patiently in the passenger seat. But of course, then the fights that followed. "I told you to slow down." "Yeah, but you didn't tell me quickly enough to slow down." All through gritted teeth, you know, and the body of the car gets smaller and smaller as the hour goes on. So I'd love to hear from you. Who taught you how to drive? How did it go? Was there war or are there fond memories? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Or maybe this is another thing. Maybe you have a very vocal partner who sits in the passenger seat while you're driving, who insists on telling you how to drive. Anybody else? You know, like, They do this thing where a brake light goes on in front of you and they either jump 2 foot into the air. That's another thing they do. Or they make the sound effect, you know, and you're about half a mile away from them. There is nothing worse than nervous passengers for stress levels. Anyway, now I've got that off my chest. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. I see Bob Dylan has just announced he's coming back to Ireland in November. He's playing the Three Arena on the 7th, which I know will be music to many people's ears. Don't judge me and don't text in about Bob Dylan. I know he has been called the greatest songwriter of our time and I've watched performances online. I just don't get it. I just do not get it. Anyway, I was much more interested reading this morning about Bob Dylan talking about his biggest regret because he once swapped an original Andy Warhol painting for a couch. And he was quoted saying, "I always wanted to tell Andy what a stupid thing I'd done. And if he had another painting he would give me, I'd never do it again." So obviously Warhol and Dylan, they were in New York in the 60s together and they became friends before either of them went on to like mega galactic fame. But the piece that Andy Warhol gave Dylan was an original painting of Elvis depicted as a cowboy and it was painted on this silver silk screen. It was only one of two originals. And what did one of those original prints sell for in Sotheby's in 2012? $37 million. Now, Dylan doesn't need the money, but that couldn't not give you the pip. I mean, you couldn't be living with that. So we thought Friday confession time, anonymously, of course. What is the stupidest thing you've ever done? And I don't expect them to be of Dylan proportions, but your biggest mistakes, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, lots of you heading to weddings this weekend and you'll be getting ready, I hope, to throw some serious shapes on the dance floor. But spare a thought for the poor DJ who, when you think about it, has probably done 400 catch-up COVID weddings this year alone before getting to you tonight. And, you know, we all want to hear the good old reliables. But I suppose every other wedding that the DJ does as well, they all want to hear the good old reliables. BuzzFeed have shared a list of songs DJs never want to hear again, including this one. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be Oh, I don't know. I still love that one. That is the Black Eyed Peas. I got a feeling. I don't think we're jaded with that one yet, are we? This one, I suppose. This, on the other hand, this is a real offender. I mean, yeah. This should be gone. They have Would an Irish wedding ever be the same again if we got rid of the YMCA? One DJ said he was always so embarrassed playing that one that he made sure on the microphone to tell everyone. He'd get on the mic and go, right, this is a request. This is a request for Auntie Mary. This is the song that she wants. Yes, that is the Village People YMCA. Another one that made the list was this 90s dance hit. And you've had way too many gin and tonics, and then you're all in a knot. You're trying to figure out what way to turn and what's going on. Oh God. Anyway, is there a song you think has been played to death and should be decommissioned for good? Now is the time. Get it off your chest. Let us know. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. What's the song when you're at a wedding or a party, it comes on and you're like, oh no. And actually, staying with weddings for a sec, did you see the picture in the Irish Sun today? It is of the biggest, it's a wedding cake, but it's a wedding cake which is a giant burger. And the Irish Sun said, wedding couples now can enjoy breaded bliss with a triple tier burger instead of a wedding cake. So it seems chocolate biscuit cake, it's out, it's done, it's had its day. So this alternative burger, it can feed up to 30 guests. And what it is, it's a 14 inch beef patty cheeseburger at the bottom. Then on top of that, there's a 12 inch chicken patty in the middle. And then on top of that, the top of the cake, a veggie alternative burger. So that's the kind of the crown, if you like. I think this is genius because, as we know, nobody ever eats wedding cake. Like, you never remember it. It gets wheeled out. A lot of the couples don't even do the cutting of the cake anymore. And that would save you, you know, having to wheel out the sausages and the sandwiches because everyone needs a bite to eat at some point around midnight. But that would be it. Wheel it out. It's something different. Everyone can have a laugh. Do a bit of a cut and then tuck in. Let me know what you think. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Yeah, it would be a bit messy, I could imagine. Yeah, definitely a bit messy. All right, lots of driving texts coming in here. Oh, there was war between me and my dad learning to drive. I mean, war. I can laugh about it now, years later, and I can still hear him shouting, "Brake!" Somebody else, Catherine, my younger brother Paul taught me and my cousin Mary how to drive in a little red Starlet in the fields. When teaching Mary, he told her to brake as we headed for the ditch, but instead she hit the accelerator. Luckily, she got the car stopped before any damage was done. That was the last time he let us into the car. Paul has since passed away, but it's a memory we always have a laugh about. Yahoo! My daughter passed her test last Wednesday, first time in Mullingar. Well done to you. My uncle taught me how to drive up a small road at the top of a mountain. That was back in the 70s. Finbar said, my four daughters learned how to drive in the middle of a 10-acre field. They had great confidence on the controls before they went on the road. Lots more of them coming in and I will get to them. But let's get a little bit of music. This is new. It's not an old classic, but I think this is a good one. It's called Hold Me Closer. They're billing it as a refresh of Elton John's hit song Tiny Dancer. So listen out, because I think you can also hear bits of his song The One and Don't Go Breaking My Heart. This is Mr. Elton John and Miss Britney Spears. Well, what do we think? Do we like, do we not? I think it's a good one. Elton John and Miss Britney Spears. And he's kind of just hanging out with the young ones. Although Britney Spears might not be considered young. But Dua Lipa. And yeah, he's kind of just, he's got, it's the same kind of vibe, isn't it? Really like that. That's a Hold Me Closer. Your text still coming in. Kathy in Selbridge said, it was 1975, a driving lesson with my now late dad, Mickey Donoghue. We did all the country roads in Cavan. I was 18 and nervous as a kitten. Somebody else says, my first driving instructor way back in 1990 was my grandfather. He was incredibly patient, even during the inevitable stalls and near misses. One piece of advice he gave me that still sticks in my mind to this day as I drive was that when driving, you need to be thinking about the car in front of you in order to anticipate their actions. Anne says, I learned to drive with the O'Connell Bridge School of Motoring about 50 years ago. It was brilliant. They had about 6 car simulators and a massive big screen. You sat into your car and a roadway came up on the screen. You drove along the roadway, observing the speed limits and indicating as appropriate. At the end of the lesson, you got a printout of all the mistakes you made. How cool is that? Songs to dump. Sweet Caroline, that should be binned. It's had its day. I am so sick of it, says one listener. Come on, Catherine says Noel. It's got to be Come On, Eileen. God! Yeah, that one would go on the bin for me as well. Please get rid of Rock the Boat. Oh no. No, we couldn't do that. Rock the Boat. No, you need Rock the Boat. All right, let me tell you about our quiz today. We are reeling in the years and we have gathered up sounds, clips from over the years and decades, including songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And we are looking for 2 people to come on air and play after 4 o'clock. So you know the rules at this stage. You can choose a short clip, which gets you 2 points, or a long clip, which gets you 1 point. And if you're brave enough to take part today, let me tell you what you could win. A luxurious 2-night break in the Heritage Hotel in Killinard, County Leash. That is what's up for grabs. You and a guest will enjoy breakfast on each morning and dinner one evening in the award-winning Blake's Restaurant. The hotel... The Heritage, it's just an hour's drive from Dublin. Perfect base for discovering Ireland's ancient east. Loads of beautiful country estates like Emo Court. There's mountain trails and the Slieve Blooms. You can head off to Kildare Village and shop till you drop. And there's loads to do without leaving the hotel as well. Whether you want to check out their cinema or have a spa treatment or an afternoon tea, it's all there at theheritage.com. That is the website. So if you want to take part today, all you got to do is answer this question. Which Westlife star has stood down as a presenter of Dancing with the Stars? That was announced yesterday. If you know the answer, give us a call. 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. Back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We were talking about your first experiences driving. A listener said, my then boyfriend, now my husband, tried to teach me to drive in Galway. He was getting so stressed that I stopped in the middle of the road, abandoned him and the car and walked home. My friend taught me to drive after that. Well, fair play, you went on to marry him. So he was obviously doing something right. Catherine, in 1966, my aunt told me always to think other drivers are fools. So it's up to me to take care. Sound advice, in my opinion. Kevin says, I taught my daughter to drive in a transit van at 15 years of age in a train station car park. Passed first time 2 years later. And then somebody is, the Birdie Song. I wish to remain anonymous, obviously, because I danced to it once to my great shame over 40 years ago. The Birdie Song. God, I haven't heard that now for a long time. Is that still doing the rounds at weddings? Anyway, keep them coming in. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, there is an amazing photograph on the front of the Irish Examiner today. It's quite magical. It's quite beautiful. Weirdly, it's of jellyfish. And jellyfish have a bad reputation in Ireland. But a man in Cork is on a mission to make us love the much maligned creature. Dr. Tom Doyle is a marine biologist in UCC and Ireland's leading jellyfish expert. He hopes a new concept garden in Blarney Castle will help to shatter the myths around jellyfish. And he is on the line now. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon, Catherine.
Well, as I said, the photograph on the front of the Examiner, they are beautiful. And when you see them on documentaries, they're lovely and they're quite ethereal. But are we not right to dislike them? Because, you know, they sting us.
I know. It's very hard to get over that initial fear that being stung by a jellyfish. And I guess what we're trying to do is to balance that, put a bit of perspective on it. Yes, you get stung, but... You know, we don't fear nettles in the same way. You know, you get stung by a nettle and you move on. But jellyfish are getting a lot of bad press. So what we're trying to do is we've come up with this concept, this garden concept. So a botanical artist, Siobhan Doherty, and the head gardener and designer at Blarney Castle here, Adam Whitburn. So the three of us together come up with this garden concept. And I guess we're trying to show that, you've mentioned it there, they're beautiful animals. So what we're trying to do is show that. So illustrate them there in put an aquarium with jellyfish right beside all these different plants and have all these beautiful artworks behind them, and then all these beautiful plants in beds and kind of a rocky shore landscape in front of them, that you've got this beautiful setting. Whereas normally you see a jellyfish on a beach or you get stung by it and you swim in the opposite direction. So here now you can get to look at them and then look at the artworks, and the artworks really illustrate kind of some of the features about them that we want to highlight in terms of their biology and get you thinking about them in a different way, and perhaps thinking about them more as flowers of the sea than those stinging animals that sting you.
Mm. And you know, when you see them against the flowers and against the plants, you can see why it works.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's a crazy idea, and at the foot of Blarney Castle is just wonderful. And but yeah, it does work, because one of the things about the symmetry of these animals is, you know, what most animals like ourselves have a left and a right side, or what we call mirror symmetry. Mm. So you can be, you know, we can be sliced down the middle, and then your left and your right hand side are exactly the same. And think of a butterfly's wings, and they're symmetrical. Mm. But so all animals are like that, but jellyfish are not. Jellyfish are round or have this radial symmetry, and it's like the wheel of a bicycle. So when you look at a wheel of the bicycle and you spin the spokes, it always looks the same. Jellyfish are much the same way. So there's that interesting element about them. But then, if you why we have them with plants, because plants are the same. Many flowers have 5 petals or 6 petals, and again, when you look at them and you twist a flower around in your hand, it looks the same. So they share that's kind of those patterns or symmetry.
Mm. Mm. And Tom, have you always been intrigued by them?
Not, I'll be honest, I didn't start out to be a jellyfish ecologist or a marine, but I was always interested in the marine side of things.
Mm.
And so I did go to college to do marine zoology.
Mm.
But my PhD was on sea turtles, and now I work on sharks and everything else. But jellyfish, I think they're a special group of animals, and they play really important roles in our oceans that maybe most people would not be aware about, in terms of their important food for sea turtles, for fish such as sunfish, but they also are shelter for animals. So if you think about it, if you're a small little fish like a haddock or something like that, there's a lot of other fish in the ocean that want to eat you, but they find shelter in amongst the bell of a jellyfish and in protection.
Wow.
In amongst those tentacles. So there's all these different little narratives that are going around, and so I guess with the garden we're trying to put a bit of spotlight on that.
And, you know, I mean, I know we've been saying that it's the end of summer and it's nigh and September is on its way and all of that back to school. But if you are taking a dip in the ocean or the Irish Sea this weekend, are there jellyfish still about? Like, are you likely to see one in various areas, in specific areas?
You will, for sure. This still is the jellyfish season, and like many flowers or plants, they have a certain season. But the summer is certainly the time when we get jellyfish that are really abundant. And August you would see a lot of jellyfish in August, but some species like the lion's mane jellyfish wash up in August. You see them tend to wash up in August and will wash up on your beaches, and so that's what there's a lot of media attention about them in Dublin right now, because this time of year they're almost dying out, that they undergo senescence, or that their lifespan is over, and then they're washing up on the beaches. So that's what you're seeing right now, but they're nothing to be feared, because we had the same jellyfish in our waters 100 years ago.
Mm.
And for most people, when you go to the sea and you go swimming, there will be jellyfish there, but most jellyfish that you encounter will barely sting you, or you won't even notice it, or at worst it'll be a nettle sting. And it's just, you know, occasionally some people will swim into a lion's mane jellyfish and get a bad sting from those. But in general, they're just part of our oceans, and they're out there.
What if you do get stung? What do we do? Is it the age old one of nobody has to do a pee on you?
No, none of that.
Okay.
None of that. So we've carried out some research on this, and that's what's really nice. It's illustrated in the garden. We've shown this. We've got some. The garden is funded by Science Foundation Ireland, a STEM outreach activity, but in terms of the sting, we have the science of the sting. They're comparing it with a nettle and a jellyfish. So how, you know, how does a nettle sting, the mechanism behind that, but then how does a jellyfish sting? But then we also talk about how do you treat it. So it's vinegar. You apply vinegar and then you apply heat. So hot water, not boiling water. You apply something like that, the hottest water you can bear. So like 40 degrees temperature or something like that.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen, it looks fantastic. I think it's an incredible concept. And as you said, I suppose important that we look at these creatures in a different way. Is it open at the moment, Tom? People can go and visit in Blarney Castle?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it'll be open till about mid next week, I think, or something like that.
Brilliant. Yeah. All right. Listen, great. Thanks so much for talking to us. That is Dr. Tom Doyle there. And that is the jellyfish concept garden in Blarney Castle. Carmel has texted in, my former husband taught me to drive during a prolonged hospital stay in the 1970s. I was told to get out and exercise in the hospital grounds. We did, and I learned to drive. Anna in Leash said, my mother taught me how to drive when I was 16. I drove 5 miles to Templemore to practice in town. I was at a crossroads on a slight hill with the handbrake on. When I took it off to move, I went backwards and bumped off the car behind it. It was a Garda. I nearly died to death. He was so nice about it, though. Brilliant stuff. All right, I think let's take a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now it's Friday, and for the last few weeks we have been escaping by living vicariously through other people's travels and adventures. We have been hearing holiday stories from some of our favourite Irish people, the best and the worst, not our Irish favourite Irish people, but their experiences, the most memorable, the most life-changing, and what their life in travel has taught them, I suppose. And today we are going to take that journey with two fantastic Irish comedians, Michael Fry and Shane Daniel Byrne. Good to see you.
Thanks for having us. I'm afraid we actually are two of the worst Irish people, so I apologise in advance.
It's brilliant to see you. You're doing fantastic things. You are on fire online. You're a headline in festivals, and we'll talk all about that in a second as well. But let's jump straight in, as I said, because we love living vicariously through people's little holiday experiences. Let's go back to the start. Michael, do you remember your first holiday?
I don't really. See, we used to just go and visit my father's family in Manchester a lot. So I used to go to England a lot, and I used to go to Donegal a good bit. So that is my first holiday memory, but it's all just visiting family.
Yeah, you know? I think there's a lot of us in that boat because, again, holidays, that was, you know, any bit of time off that you had, it was going visiting the relatives. And a lot of time, you know, going to their houses wasn't considered a holiday. It was just something you had to do.
Duty.
Duty. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. What about you, Shane?
We would, Wexford, we're like every Dublin family, we have a connection to Wexford. So, but we used to go, my parents have a mobile home now in Duncannon, but before that we used to rent houses in the area. And like when we were very small, so us, we'd go with cousins. So two families together. So like at one stage, there'd be 10 children between the two families.
And it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I think lots of people recognise this. But like, I don't even know where we all, it must have been like four to a bed. I don't know how we all did it, but down in Wexford, there was one house. The lady was called Nellie Barry. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. And that was her house. And we'd be crammed in and just, I don't know how the parents even managed. There was like 10 kids under 10, like something like that. There was like so many children. But yeah, your cousins were just your extra siblings at that point. Yeah, yeah.
We so were the messy. Same. Yeah, all our cousins, we were in Wexford as well, had a mobile home. And I still can't figure out the width of a bed in a mobile home. And there was like two or three of us in it.
I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works. They just crammed them in. Sardine children. Yeah, yeah.
But great memories. I mean, like endless days and endless summers, wasn't it? Like just felt like they went on forever.
Yeah, and we're from the city, so whatever. So we couldn't play out in our road even. So we learned all our socialising down in Wexford. That's where we were socialised. So knocking for people, playing out. We learned all that there.
Yeah.
And games.
All
and
the bold stuff as
all
well.
All the bold stuff that, yeah. I mean, when you progress to your teenage years in Wexford, there's a lot of climbing out the windows of mobile homes at night.
Yes.
Kind of thing. So yeah, so plenty more bold things that I can't tell you on the radio.
And Michael, what about you? Do you remember your first solo holiday? Like the one that you did, say, without the folks, with maybe friends or a partner?
Yeah. So I did French university. So to learn French, myself and my friends decided we would do some like work away kind of organic farming stuff. We went to a vineyard and didn't do too much research into it. Got there, the guy wasn't French. He was an Englishman and he was horrible.
That's disappointing already.
So everyone told me it'd be like that episode of The Simpsons where Bart goes to the vineyard in France. I was like, I won't be like that. And then I came back a week later being like, it was exactly like that. It was horrible. So yeah, really grim. We had to kind of escape in the middle of the night at one point. So we wrote them a letter and got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and disappeared into the hills of France and had to avoid some wild boars and all of the stuff. So yeah, not exactly a successful first trip away, I don't think.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't learn much French either. So complete disaster.
Well, it's just like you knock at the door and he's like, all right. And
yeah, like, pretty much. Yeah,
you're
yeah.
in this French vineyard. What about you, Shane? What about, well, maybe tell us your best holiday experience.
I don't know if this is a holiday, right? I'm not as good as traveling as you, Catherine, but like my holiday, I think, would be the Camino. I walked the Camino in 2013.
The whole
Camino
thing?
De Santiago. Well, yeah, I walked from the border of France and Spain, and then I walked all the way to the sea, so the whole way across the top of Spain.
Wow. On your own, or?
I went solo, but once you start alone, oh, you're never alone on the Camino.
You're never alone.
No, you do make really good friends. So I went on my own. I had a chance. I got extra money for something one time. I was working in theatre at the time, and this extra money popped up, and it was like I wasn't expecting, so I just said, okay, Grant, I'll do this, and went and booked a flight and knew nothing about it. I knew I'd buy walking shoes, that was it, and I didn't have a guidebook, I didn't have anything, but I learned that on the way. You don't actually need any of those things. That's just stuff they sell to Americans and that they love it or whatever. But yeah, I did that. So that was kind of my first big trip.
I've never done the Camino. So are you saying like it's so well marked and you just follow the crowds that you don't need guidebooks, you don't need anything?
I walked 900 kilometres and there's an arrow every 100 metres, a yellow arrow called a fleche in Spanish. And you just follow them the whole way and you figure it out on the way. So it kind of sets itself up. So there are plenty of things you can buy, guidebooks, things you want. There are people who buy tour companies who sell it and that's useful for some people. But I was 24 or something, so I was like, I didn't need my bag carried, I didn't need hotels, I was happy to stay in hostels and just chat to people along the way. Yeah.
And did you have, you know, I always hear stories of people, the first days, the blisters,
the chafing. I'm sorry to talk about chafing. So someone told me before, get like bicycle shorts. They're really good for not chafing. And they were not. That was a full lie. Did not work for me. So what I did was, and I'm sorry, no, this may be crass and crude, but I'm going to go for it. If anyone's thinking about the Camino, Vaseline every morning. Go right. Commando, go Vaseline. You're ready for the day. And okay. I had no more problems thereafter. So I recommend it. And if you're trying to buy it in Spain, you may have to buy Vaseline.
But the feet, they land. And did you have a kind of a moment on the Camino? Like, what was it, one of those moments that shaped your life? I think
like everyone jokes when you come back, like, did you find yourself and all this stuff? But I think you actually rather than finding, discovering things about yourself, you meet yourself a little bit through everybody else. You meet hundreds of strangers. Some people you're with, you've known them for a few weeks now, you've seen them for weeks. Some people you meet for one day and then they stop and then you never see them again.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So, but you kind of, when everybody's a stranger and you're all having fun and chatting and socialising and whatever, you see how people treat you and you're like, okay, that's what I'm putting out in the world. So you do meet yourself a little bit.
Yes.
But I don't think some people don't care about that kind of spiritual side of it or anything like that. People are happy to just go and like just go for a walk, or they raise money for charity, or they do the last week or something like that. But it's your Camino, your way. So you
but
do whatever
I think
you like.
Spending that much time on your own, like, you know, yes, you're meeting people along the way, but it is, you know, when you choose to take on something like that and you spend that much time in your own company, you do meet yourself.
Yeah, and Camino is a nice one for that because you can be alone or not. You make a decision yourself. You can leave whenever you want. You get up early one morning or late one morning. You can walk by yourself for a whole 2 days, whatever. Mm. So it's a good one for that kind of thing. Yeah. I'd recommend it to anybody.
Okay, Michael, what about you? Maybe have you had like the holiday meal we were talking about, a burger, wedding cake earlier on, and I can't stop thinking about burgers now for the entire show. But have you had a meal anywhere that you just like, when you think of it, it brings you back to that place?
I had the nicest kebab I have ever had in my life in Hanoi, in Vietnam.
Sorry, hold on a second. Yeah. You have been to the culinary, like the Vietnam, the place of the most delicious food. And you're talking about a kebab.
They do a very good kebab. Okay. They put it in like ciabatta bread and not a wrap. And it was so good. And like, obviously, I'm a lot bigger than your average Vietnamese person. So I had two. I went back and had another one. And then went back the next night again because, oh my God, like my eyes rolled in the back of my head when I had it first.
I think it's called a bun mi.
Oh, banh mi.
Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
So it's got like, it's kind of like a French stick, but it's not a French stick.
Yes.
And inside it, it's got pâté, like this kind of ham pickle bits, mayonnaise,
It's similar. Like they, it's kind of like a hybrid, is what I had.
Okay.
And it was just, I don't even think it was clearly signposted. We just saw this guy selling them on the side of the road, and we're like, "Let's go for it." And it was like, "Oh my god!"
And were you sitting down on the side of the street with everything happening around you? Or?
No, I ate it standing up straight away, and then bought another one immediately afterwards. So
that's what I love about street food. I mean, and Vietnam, they do it so well. It's just, you know, you could be like mopeds and cars and petrol fumes, you know, and you're just sitting on a little plastic bucket. And it's just, it's magic.
It's a stunning place. Like, I'd never been anywhere that wasn't a Western country before, so it was a real shock. Like, we arrived in Ho Chi Minh first,
okay,
and that's all motorbikes, and there's no rules on the road at all from what I can see. You know, you might have people who have like big drums of water on their back, or like, we had this guy go past us, he just had this massive lizard on the front of his thing. So a completely different world to what I was used to. So a big shock when we arrived.
Yeah.
But unbelievable, really good experience.
Yeah. Sounds very like my time in Wexford as a child. Yeah, it sounds very similar. Some of those things happen there.
I brought my mom to Vietnam 100 years ago, and we still laugh about this now, because we were hiking up in the highlands, and we had, you know, it was very remote, and we were staying with this family, and we had to climb up a ladder, and underneath were all the buffalo, like the family owned these buffalo, and then we had to sit, and we were having, you know, our bowls of rice, and everyone was really polite, and while trying to converse, and like, you can't, we were just trying to kind of sign language or whatever, the buffalo kept farting underneath. Oh, yeah. So it was like really obvious, and we just got a fit of giggles, like we couldn't. And then you just lay down on the bamboo floor and went to sleep where you'd eaten, and they were lying beside you, the family and all the kids, and all night the buffalo were just farting all night. And so that's our abiding memory of Vietnam. Shane, what about you? Did you ever do the J1? We were talking about that last week as well. Did you ever do a J1 or an international school trip?
No, we didn't do, our school was stingy, we didn't have any of those exciting things. And I know I didn't do anything, I didn't finish college, sorry to my parents who are listening in, I apologise again. I did go on, like, loads of my young people travel was like in scouts, so we travelled in scouts and then in venture scouts as well, so a bit older. So we did once, so we drove from Dundrum, Dublin, to Kandersteg in Switzerland in the Alps. So we drove on a bus.
Wow.
There were two buses worth, 98 kids, I don't know how many grown-ups, whatever. Those people are such good volunteers. They gave like 2.5 weeks of their lives to bring these kids to Switzerland.
Imagine, so that the stress was kind of trying to manage y'all. Oh, God.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
I don't know how they do it. Like, one child seems very stressful to me, but 98 of them in a foreign country in the Alps seems even worse. But yeah, so we had exciting times doing those kind of things, but I never was a J1 party boy.
Okay. We were talking about wedding songs and the worst sort of wedding songs. What is there a holiday song that kind of brings you back as well?
Yeah, I do. And it was on a Marks and Spencer's ad, probably, I think, recently, and it gave me proper PTSD kind of flashbacks. But I went to Florida with my family. It was a great holiday. We did all the roller coasters and stuff like that, like our first proper big holiday we went on. And The Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani was playing everywhere, as in like shops, like bathrooms, like everywhere around that time. So when I think about it now, that song brings me straight back. I'm 13 again.
Wow. Okay, let's take a listen. Let's bring you back. Gotta love a bit of Gwen Stefani.
I love Gwen Stefani. Yeah. Gwen Stefani's like 50 now, apparently.
I know, and she still looks 25.
Yeah,
she's amazing. Guys, it's been lovely to catch up with you. An Evening with Michael Fry and Killian Sunderman is in Smock Alley on September 12th to 14th. People can find out about that, fringefest.com.
Yeah, or you can get some tickets at Smock Alley itself, but there's more info on Fringefest. Yeah.
Lovely. And you are hosting, Shane, you are hosting with David O'Doherty and Martin Angolo, the Pooka Film Fest, or Pooka, not Film Festival, Pooka Festival in Trim.
Yes.
And people can find tickets at pookafestival.com.
Yeah, check it out.
Happy days. All right, let's get a bit of Rolling Stones, I think.
Nice.
That is the Rolling Stones there. I'm going to try and get through a couple more of your texts. I am from Norway and my dad taught me to drive. He was not the most patient man, but when teaching me, he was great. The only problem was the car. He had a 1980 bright green Lada, which couldn't make a three-point turn on a two-lane road. It took 5 to 7 points, depending on the width of the road. But looking back, I'm so grateful for all the time he spent teaching me. What great memories to have. Linda has texted in, my dad taught me to drive in 1983. He was calm and in complete control of me and my mistakes. He told me to expect an articulated truck around every corner. I lived in the country then. After I passed my test first time and before he would let me out on my own, he stood over me and watched as I had to change a tyre and check the oil and water. He died in March and I miss him every day. Oh, condolences, Linda. But what a lovely memory to have. Then another message. My brother taught me how to drive. I learned in my bare feet. One day the car stalled while turning on a country road. A lorry had to stop while this was going on. I jumped out of the car, ran around in my bare feet to the passenger side in the rain and told my brother to take over. He did and just laughed. And that comes in from Margaret. All right, I think let's take a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Ukuleles, kazoos and bongos were apparently some of the most popular musical instruments to be purchased during and after the pandemic. But if you want to hear a ukulele being played really well, then you should head to Dunleary this weekend. There'll be uki players from all around Ireland, the US, the UK and all over Europe. The Ukulele Hooli by the Sea Festival is back after a 2-year absence. And we are only delighted to have Angie and Shane from Minnie and the Illywhackers.
Well done, Catherine. Well done.
Minnie and the Illywhackers. That is brilliant. The guys are in studio with us today. Good to see you, lads. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good.
Glad to be here.
So, Angie, you are from Greenock in Scotland.
I am.
But you have been living and working here for years.
Yeah, I've been in Dublin for 18 years. I was in college here for 5 years, moved to the States for 12, and then I've been back for 18.
Okay, so, yeah, okay. Kind of, so you're part of us now.
I'm almost, yeah, almost a local in Cabra. I'll give it another 20 years and I will be.
Come here. How did you, what got you into the ukulele?
Well, I played guitar for years and not that well, I have to say. And then one year, like randomly, my husband gave my ukulele for Christmas and I'd never expressed any interest in playing it whatsoever.
Wow.
And then I just like totally fell in love with it. It was his dad's for when he was a boy, so it was like a whole old harmony from like 1958 or something like this.
Okay.
And I was just carrying it around with me all the time. I found myself kissing it, weirdly enough.
Wow.
Took it
okay.
to work. Like, you know, I just couldn't put it down. I was just, yeah, so I just really got into it.
Okay, well, let's hear you guys in action. What are you going to play for us first?
I'm going to play, so they're both original songs going to play today. The first one's called Call to Your Home.
Okay, off you go.
2, 3, 4. I had a mother, she was kind and sweet, taught me to sing. Sisters and friends of mine, love one another, you never know the time when you leave this world and the rest behind, and you'll be gone, called to your home. and you'll be gone. Call to your home.
Yay! Love it.
Thank you.
So kind of country, kind of bluegrass. Yeah, that's what that's what the band play. Is it mostly that style?
Kind of rootsy style. Like the next one I'll play is totally different. I'm kind of influenced by a lot of different things. Kind of music from like the 20s, 30s, kind of 40s, that kind of era. Okay, yeah, the ukulele lends itself really well to that kind of music.
And I was saying a load of people picked this up in the pandemic, and I think there's is it a misconception that it's an easier instrument to play because it's smaller and there's only four strings instead of six? Like,
I mean, I suppose for me I found it easier because I played the guitar before, so I kind of picked up really easy. But I think it's like any instrument, you know, if you don't put the time and effort into it, you're not going to be able to play well. You know, I think the best way for me to play is to play with other people, and the ukulele is really great for that because there's all kinds of groups, you know, around Dublin, around Cork, you know, all get together and play ukulele together. Mm, so it's kind of the best way to learn, really, to play with other people, I think.
And I think when Ed Sheeran started on the ukulele, everyone went, yes. So listen, we can hear Minnie and the Illywhackers on the main stage. You guys are doing the People's Park in Dunleary on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And the website is ukulelehooly.com. You've also got a solo album coming out soon as well.
I do, yeah. It's my first solo album ever. So it's called The Boy Is Gone. It was produced by Martin Stevenson of Martin Stevenson of the Dainties.
Okay.
Do you remember the 80s?
You know? And what sort of, is it the same sort of style or?
No, it's a little bit different. Although these two songs actually are on the album, but I have a really hard time sticking to one style. So there's some kind of folky style songs in it and some kind of bluesy style songs and these kind of stuff. So
cool. Okay. Well, listen, what are you going to play? You're going to play, is it Betty's song?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Talk to us about that. What is it?
Yeah, it's a song that I wrote about my mum. So she died in 2016. And it was probably because of her I got into this kind of music. So we would sit on like Saturday, Sunday afternoons watching like old matinees together and things like that. So, you know, all the old Hollywood movies and stuff like that. And we'd make chips together in the kitchen and sing Doris Day and harmonise away to the songs. And
wow, what lovely memories.
Yeah, so it's just kind of, you know, everybody's memory of their parent is different. I'm sure my siblings have a very different view. But, you know, when she died, like I realised I didn't just miss the woman that was there just before she died. It was all the mums, you know, that I kind of missed. So it's just a bit wee pockets of memories that I have of her.
Okay, well, take it away. Yeah. This is Betty's song.
High above a mountaintop, we watch her spread her wings. She spins around and comes to life like a lark who is learning to sing. When Maria's problems have been solved, the Baroness subdued, I'll sing along and I'll remember you. When Fred Heel talks across the my feet, and I'll remember you. The robin hops onto the grass, seeking wayward crumbs. He makes his way each time this day, knowing that I'll come. And when the man upon the moon shimmers into view, at him and I'll remember you. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-doo, ba-ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-boo. When the chips are down, we'll turn them round with salt and vinegar. Chase the blues by whistling Kesara. When Scotland scores the winning goal and Jimmy Hill gets booed, I'll raise my scarf and I'll remember you. And I do. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba, lights may dim, but I'll still see your face. And I do.
Wonderful stuff, Angie and Shane, and they will be playing the Ukulele Hooli by the Sea in Dunleary this weekend. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we are reeling in the ears, and we have got two people who are ready to do the business to try and win a fantastic prize. And that prize, I'm going to remind you again, the guys are playing for a luxurious two-night break in the Heritage Hotel with breakfast on each morning and dinner on one evening in the award-winning Blake's Restaurant. The Heritage is in the lovely village of Killinard, County Leash, just an hour drive from Dublin. And lots to do there. You can head up to Emo Court. You can do the mountain trails and the Slieve Blooms. You can shop till you drop at Kildare Village. Or if you fancy just throwing the feet up and staying where you are, there's afternoon tea. You can go to the spa, you can watch a movie in the hotel. So the website is theheritage.com, and we asked the guys which Westlife star has stood down as presenter of Dancing with the Stars. The answer, of course, is Nicky Byrne, and two people who got that right today are Kathy Carey and Kevin Farrell. Good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon.
Hello. How are we going?
All good, all good. Kathy, you are player number one, they tell me, so I will chat to you first. Where are you, my dear?
I'm currently parked at the side of a road.
Right.
Safely.
Good.
But we're just coming back from Belfast, so we're nearly home now, nearly in Navan.
Lovely, en route to Navan. So what had you in Belfast? Just a little breakaway?
Yeah, we were just up for the night. We were seeing Paolo Nutini.
Oh, how was the gig?
Oh, amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, very, very good. Isn't... And we've been booked for next year as well. So
oh,
we'll
my goodness.
Paolo'd out.
The new album is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really good. And he did a lot of songs from it last night, so it was good to hear them live.
Brilliant, brilliant. Oh, fab. And are you wrecked, or who's doing the driving?
My husband, Brian. We're not too wrecked. We took it handy. We've a little girl at home, so we know now that we'll pay for it the next day if we go too mad.
Who's the little one at home? What's her name?
Clodagh.
Clodagh.
She's probably listening now, so I'll say hello to her.
What age is she?
Oh, she's only 11 months, nearly just 11
11 months. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And was this like one of your first times away and it's just the two of you?
Yeah, we've had a couple now, but this is one of the first few times away now. We're lucky we've a good granny at home.
Oh,
so.
You can. Nothing like a good granny. There is like a good granny. And you guys are kind of recently married.
Yeah, we'll be 2 years now in October.
Okay. So did you have the dreaded COVID moving this and moving that? And
yes, we were, as I said, we were a COVID couple and we were 12 days out when it all got locked down.
Oh my goodness.
So it was great fun. But look, in hindsight, the road since, you know, looking back, it's no big deal now. It was horrible then, but we had 25 people in October 2020.
And lovely.
Fab.
Lovely.
I highly recommend it.
So you probably didn't have to do that, you know, all the big, huge dance floor fillers that we were talking about early on. If there's one wedding song that you don't like, what is it?
Oh, you played it. When you were playing them, I was like, oh no, not the YMCA.
Brilliant. What did you have a wedding song yourselves, one that you danced
to? We did. You know, I would love music now, but unfortunately at that time you weren't allowed to have any live music at all. Now we had a recording of our band playing, it was The Book of Love by Peter Gabriel.
Oh my goodness, what a song.
Song. Yeah, it was fab.
Gorgeous. Kathy, well, lovely to chat to you.
Thanks, Catherine.
And stay on the line and I'm going to have a word with Kevin Farrell. Good afternoon, sir.
Captain, what's the story? How are you keeping?
All good. And you?
No, not too bad. Just nearly finished work for the day.
Okay, and where are you working?
I work in the docks in Dublin Port.
Oh,
six in Lurie's.
Brilliant. Yeah. I had a chat a week or two ago now with the lads all about the Dublin docks. They're putting on a show all about the dockers. What a place to work, and it's a different environment there now.
Ah, it is, yeah, but I'm here most of my life working for a few different companies, but it's just a massive operation in here, you know.
Yeah, fantastic.
Worked for a few different companies in here over the years.
Okay, and you're heading home very soon, so who are you heading home to?
I'm heading home to Carol, the missus, and my daughter lives with us, and her boyfriend Paul, and they're saving hard for a mortgage, and they have two little boys, Tommy and Danny.
Okay, that's a busy house.
Grandsons. Yeah, and they have another little grandson as well, Tyler. He lives just in Russia as well. But yeah, it's a busy house, but it works well.
I'd say they'll keep you on your toes. I'd say there's a great bit of crack.
Absolutely, Catherine, not a bother.
And when you go home now, what's Friday like? Friday night like? Is it pizzas and telly, or is it what goes on?
Well, if Tommy and Danny are still up, it looks like there's after been a nuclear explosion in the kitchen. But anyway, it's good fun, like, you know what I mean? Jake's always here and stuff, you know. Yeah, but it's good, like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, not a bit of clean floor anywhere in the house.
Well, the girls don't be that footy and doing like work during the day, you know what I mean? There's things to be doing, watching telly and, you know.
You're not one of those fellas now that come in and open the door and look around the place a mess, and you give that look. You don't.
Yeah,
you better not do that.
Lots of the kitchen lights going on, and you know yourself.
And come here. Did you have a good summer?
We had a great summer. Yeah, we got away with Tommy and Danny earlier to where do we go? Alcudia.
Oh, lovely.
For 10 days. So it was great to go away with the two boys. It was supposed to go away with Tommy 2 years ago.
Okay.
And then, well, Danny wasn't here, but then Danny arrived. Like, so. We were supposed to go away last year then. We didn't go with COVID. So eventually we got away this year. We were supposed to go to Lanzarote. And there was a bit of a mess in the airport. Flights cancelled and all that. So anyway, we ended up in Alcudia. But we had a great time.
Great.
Sunshine and relaxing and whatever. You know yourself. Good crack.
Good crack. Good crack. So, but yourself and Carol wouldn't say no to a few nights in Leash?
No. Be all right, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Be all right.
You know, they were knitting and whatever. And, you know. There's a cinema there, so I might go and watch Maverick on my own or something, whatever, while she's knitting, you know, you wouldn't know.
She loves a bit of knitting, does she?
She does a bit of knitting now, just the past couple of years since she became a nana. But she's a great woman, Karen.
Good.
Not a bother, keeps the whole show on the road, you know. So.
Well, listen, I could chat to you all day, but we better do this quiz, will we?
Right, go for it.
Okay, Kathy and Kevin, do you want to wish each other the best of luck?
Good luck, Kevin.
Good luck. Best of luck to you.
All right. Kathy, you are player number one. Here we go. The year is 2018, okay? This is your movie question. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll be brave and go short.
Good woman. Go on. All right. This romantic film starring Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga saw an American movie star help a young singer and actress find fame. Can you name the movie?
Every single person that I've come in contact with in the music industry has told me that my nose is too big.
Your nose is beautiful.
Okay. Do you know the movie, Kathy?
Oh, I do. A Star is Born.
Yes. Oh, I can't watch it without bawling.
No, I'm thinking of it now. It's very emotional.
It's brilliant. Okay, Kevin, this is your movie question. The year is 2018. Do you want to go long or short?
I will go short.
Okay, for 2 points. Actor Rami Malek won an Oscar for his film where he portrayed a legendary entertainer from the world of rock. What was the name of this film?
Imagine. I take a guess at Queen. Doing
this music. No.
No. Okay.
No, it was.
Freddie Mercury. No,
yes, yeah, but we were looking for the name of the film, Kevin.
What was it called?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, hard luck. You knew it.
I met Rami Malek in Central Park in New York.
Oh, no.
Anyway. Bohemian Rhapsody, okay, not to worry.
Not to worry. But it's a good point. Listen, wait until the end of the clip, okay? Because something could click in for you there. All right, Kathy, you're back up. It is your music question. What do you think? 2018, do you want to go long or short?
Oh, I could go either way here now. Go short again.
Go short. Okay, for 2 points. This was a big hit for this British artist, topping the charts in 2018. Can you name the song or the artist?
Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see.
Shotgun.
Yes, Kathy, you are on fire today. That is Shotgun, George Ezra. All right, Kevin, back to you. You're still in the game. It is a music question. What do you think? Do you want to go long or short?
Oh, sure, I'll have to go short.
All right, this is to try and get 2 points. All right, Kevin, this actor turned singer had a number one hit with this song in 2018, in which she paid tribute to all her ex-boyfriends. Can you name the song or the artist?
One taught me love, one taught me patience, and one taught me pain.
Catherine, I haven't got an iota.
But you know what? Do you know what, Kevin? Sometimes honesty is the best policy, isn't it?
I haven't a clue. If you played the whole song for me, I wouldn't know.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? It was Ariana Grande. That is who we were looking for. But that means you can't catch Kathy today. She's too good.
I get a mug, though. That's the only
you,
thing.
Do you know what, Kevin? You don't only get yeah. one mug. You get two.
Well, that's kind of like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, do we have 7 mugs in our house now? Listen, thanks very much.
Not at all. Have a lovely evening. Drive
right,
safe.
Good luck.
Get back to them all. All right, Kevin, that was nice nice chatting to you. Kathy, you are heading off to County Laois. Who are you going to bring with you?
Oh, I'll have to bring Brian here, but I'm just delighted. If it went to the tiebreaker, we were just there and I was like, I got that totally wrong. So thank God they went my way because I'd never have got it. So luck was on my side.
Look, well, you know, you were pretty. You were on fire today and you were having a good one. So listen, lovely chatting to you. Drive safely.
Get
home
too.
Get home safe to that beautiful girl of yours. Have a lovely weekend.
I will. Thank
Chat
you so
you
much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So some big news from Harry Styles just in, and fans are going to be delighted. He has just announced that he will be playing Slane Castle next summer on Saturday, June the 10th. So tickets go on sale on Friday, next Friday. So that is exciting stuff. Sure, we got to play a bit of Harry Styles. It's Friday.
Things haven't been quite the same. It's only been a couple of days and I miss you. All this late night talking.
Great to hear Harry Styles is coming to Slane next year. I'm just back from New York where I saw Harry in Madison Square Gardens with my nieces. He was ab fab, so says Helen in Cork. And speaking of fabulous people, I just want to give a quick shout out and say good luck to our Aisling, who is sitting out there, Aisling Grennan. She is a researcher here and it's her last day on the show today, but she's not going far. She's off to telly for a new role. So I know Ray is saying good luck and thanks as well. So best of luck and we're going to miss you, Ash, but she is, she's fabulous. I'm joined by more fabulous people in studio now, friends of the show, husband and wife, Gina and Carl Daly, also known as the Daily Dish.
Hi,
how are you?
Good,
happy
thanks.
Friday.
Yay. Same to you.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Great.
Good.
Really good.
Good. So for people maybe who don't know you, let's get reacquainted. How did you guys get started? Like, how did the Daily Dish come about?
I started a little food diary on Instagram and I joined a slimming club and I'd lost 8 stone and I'd put some weight back on. I'd lost some, put it back on. I just said, I'll just start up an online diary. If my sister's watching, if my dad's watching, it'll keep me accountable. And that's how it all started. And
wow.
I just started posting some dishes, a bit monotonous, kind of a bit boring. And then I was like, I want to eat the nice food that I want to eat that, you know, I possibly can't have every day and have it every day. And yeah, we just started kind of creating dishes that we love with a healthier twist. And a healthier spin. And our page grew.
Like, it grew phenomenally. And then, like, you went on, you've got cookbook number 3 is going to be out soon. But the first cookbook, The Daily Dish, that was the highest selling cookbook in Ireland.
It's incredible.
Like
still can't believe it.
Yeah, we outsold, like, Nigella Lawson, Jamie Oliver, mm. all the big names that we grew up with. And yeah.
And
so
this was just you guys doing what you love, what you kind of,
yeah.
you know, with a kind of a healthy twist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, just having a bit of fun in the kitchen. And I suppose the time that it came out was just at the start of COVID. So people were at home. People who had never cooked before were like, oh, these dishes are easy. The ingredients are so easy to source. We probably have them in our press. So it was just, it was nice for people to kind of.
And we did a lot of cook along videos during COVID as well to kind of encourage people to have a bit of crack in the kitchen.
Raise the spirits and just, like, we just have a bit of a buzz in the kitchen. Mm. We love to cook together.
And is this your full-time job now? Is this what the two of you are doing or?
It kind of has turned that way.
Yeah.
Like, we have our own business as well. We do kind of greeting cards, funny cards, and that's done from home. And with Jeannie used to do illustrations. But because as this has gone on, it's kind of taken up more and more of our time, which is great though. Like, we have such fun and we, like, it gives us the freedom because obviously with the kids at home as well, we can kind of work around and that and everything else. So
tell me about the kids. Little baby Gene is a new addition to the family.
Yeah, he's 9 months on Monday. He's our little rainbow baby with an extra colour. He is the light of all of our lives. Gene was born in November after a miscarriage, so he's our rainbow. But he was born with Down syndrome and he is the most amazing little boy we've ever come across in our life. He's just He's incredible.
And at that age, I mean, they've just got it all going on, don't they? Yeah. Is he eating and sleeping? Is he doing all the things he should be doing? And
absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, it was an unknown, you know, area for us. I have followed lots of mammies online that have children with Down syndrome. So, like, I know, you know, you kind of know certain things, but all children are different and all their milestones are different. So we just take it every day as it comes. We, you know, all we have is the here and now. And with the older two, there's so much encouragement there from, like, he's talking, mama, baba, dada, all those things, and eating. Jeez, he'd take the hand off you for a bit of grub.
So. Well, my one, I'm still waiting for mama. She's doing dad all right, but she's not doing mama.
His first mama one was mama.
Wow,
he knows when he says it, I'll appear. So he's dead right.
Yeah. And how are Holly and Ben? Does he love his older brother and sister?
They're obsessed.
Yeah,
absolutely obsessed.
She's real mammy, and he's very protective brother.
Because she's 13 and...
Yeah, and Ben is 11.
11, okay.
And like even to Nana and Grandad, my sister, mind his head. Watch what you're doing.
We've had children before. Isn't it incredible how protective they are?
Absolutely.
I know. Yeah. And so it's been a big year. I mean, it's been a big year for you guys professionally, but it's been a big year personally as well. Yeah. You baby. And I know, Gina, that you lost your dad very recently as well.
Yeah, my dad was living with us for the last year. His partner died last year and he came to live with us. And he died suddenly in March after a very short illness. So, it was a bittersweet, but as sad as it is, and the grief, I'll never get over it. It's you know, grief isn't linear. It has its highs and its lows. And he was our number one taste tester for the whole book
because he moved in with you guys, didn't he?
We built a little cottage at the back for him, and he spent the year every day. We'd be saying, right, tonight we're going to try this dish, and it became almost a competition because Gene would give him something, and he'd be like, that was lovely, and then the next day I'd give him something, and he'd be like, oh god, that was really nice now. And Gina's face in the corner going, what were you going to say about my dish?
That's gas. And I know, I think I read somewhere that he'd also say that when you guys were cooking away in the kitchen and you'd be getting so into it, and he'd be like, is the dinner on the table yet?
Yeah, he'd be watching us and he'd say, smells gorgeous, looks gorgeous. And he'd say, my brother did the eulogy at the funeral, and he's like, and my dad would say, could see him and it's coming towards me, and then she stops and takes a photograph.
It's
freezing cold and the hunger's gone off.
But so proud of you, like, to achieve such incredible success, and for him to witness it and be a part of it, I mean, that's amazing.
The year he was with us was incredible, and we had so much fun, and like, he was so supportive and so encouraging. And even when he was in hospital, I was at home with the baby kind of finishing off edits on the book, and Gina was sitting in with him doing her bits as well, and he was like, you need to keep going now, you need to keep
going. He wouldn't let me stop. I was like, Daddy, you know, we're in hospital for a little while, we'll be home soon. And he's like, nope, if you don't, and he go. Stop it, you know, you just constant pushing. Yeah. This is your time, you need to do it. So,
and what are the two of you like working in the kitchen together? I mean, he got to witness you, but when you're trying stuff out and you're trying different recipes, and this is all, I mean, because when you're doing cookbook number 3, this is another 100 new recipes that you're bringing to us. Like, that takes a lot of time and I suppose a lot of patience. You don't have two kitchens that each of you work in. So
it's
you work.
It's exciting though. Like, I mean, I think the good thing was with the first book, it came out in April, and then the second book came out the following April. I mean, I also had a diary in between that had 25 recipes in it, whereas this time it was October. So we had a little bit longer.
Okay.
But it's kind of fun as well. Yeah, like, it's exciting.
We murder each other, you know. We do. It's not all rainbows and sunshine. Like, there's times where I'm just like, just get out. Just get out and just let me do what I have to do. But, like, majority of the time it's like, taste it. See if it's nice. We have very different tastes when it comes to food. So
Which is good. It's a contrast.
Yeah.
But no, we work well. If I'm cooking, I'm just like, you chop the vegetables way over there.
You quit the next room.
And I know with the first two cookbooks, well, the first one especially, if they were calorie count, if that's what you wanted, they were all family, kind of family meals. So with the new cookbook that's coming out, what is it? Is it a little bit more of the same, or what can we expect?
It's a little bit different. It's kind of structured a little bit differently. So it's got your breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinners, air fryer, slow cooker. And we've also got a kids chapter to encourage kids to go cooking with their parents, and simple recipes, but it's all made from scratch. We've also got your calorie count, cook time, prep time. So if you've got half an hour, you want to make a quick dinner, you'll be able to see straight away before you start.
And there's lots of air fryer recipes in there, but there's also oven temperatures as well. So
if you haven't got an air fryer.
Okay. So
yeah,
brilliant.
But we kept the structure the same, like, kind of, you know, there. If you're in the gym, or if you're calorie counting, or whatever your vibe is, even it's they're good recipes for people with diabetes as well, because there's a lot of low sugar and low low carbs,
low carbs
like
as
that.
Well.
Yeah, so it keeps it.
It is Friday. We like to have a treat on Friday. And I was talking about burgers earlier on. You've done a little collaboration with Eddie Rockets.
Yes, we have.
Which is not being calorie counted.
No.
This is your treat weekend. So.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, the way we see it is we don't have, like, it's not a treat meal. It's just another dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're doing anything like this, it has to become your lifestyle, you know, otherwise it's, when you stop, you go back to your, maybe your old ways or whatever. So it's, that's your, we just see it as, you know, that's my extra calories for the week.
Love it.
Happy days.
Love it. Love it. We were talking about getting back to school. So two, maybe we just, might just have time for one, will we? We have time for one recipe. What would be your go-to recipe, family recipe that you recommend to people?
So we have loads, obviously. But one good one, nice family favourite is just, it's burritos. It sounds very basic. But
I
like
love a burrito.
You can shove lots of hidden veggies in there for the kids. But what the aspect of it that we like is just to lay it out on all on the table. We all sit around, and especially with going back to school, we can sit and chat about how our day went, how school was. There's, you know, you can have it loaded but whatever you want. I can have it my way and the kids can have it milder, or if they want extra stuff. So it's a, it, you know, it's a real kind of crowd please.
It works for everybody.
Yes,
it works for everybody. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
I could sit and chat to you all afternoon, but unfortunately I've run out of time. Gina and Carol Daly from The Daily Dish, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And best luck with going back to school and all next week. That is my lot for today, folks. Thank you for keeping me company over the last 3 weeks. It has flown by. I've absolutely loved it. Ray will be back on Monday. Drive Time is next. I'll chat to you soon. Have a lovely afternoon.
It's The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.